Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I don't know when it ends for the Miami Heat, but I know it is going to end famously, and when it does, they are already going to have won. That's where we're at with this team. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star, Jhené Egbunike. And Jhené, we'll get back to that series in a little bit. We'll get back to looking ahead at tonight, what's going to come up for the Lakers. But we did get some news today on the NBA awards front from our own Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yes, we did. And obviously we have our own MVP back-to-back, Giannis Antetokounmpo. This was no shocker here, but I guess the only shocker is that we all expected for him to be in the playoffs at this point, especially if he's going to be the one receiving that award.
Yeah, and this is the part where it gets uncomfortable. We had this conversation probably over a week ago when the Bucks got bounced by the Miami Heat. Should the NBA even be giving the award out this late in the postseason? Normally doing it at the NBA Awards, trying to kind of emulate what the NFL's done, because everyone likes feeling like they're the only show in town. You've got this big night for everybody, but it's made this award an uncomfortable handout, because now going all the way back to, it's been what, since Steph Curry won it his first time, when you had the NBA's regular season MVP showing up in the finals?
Yeah, it is. And it's just really, it's an interesting dichotomy given the game tonight, right? Because sometimes you wonder, I guess I'm proud to say that if we had votes, who would you have voted for this season?
If we had votes for the MVP as it was presently constructed, judged, and voted upon, I probably would have voted for Giannis.
Same here.
But I say that as someone, when the world shut down, I was fully watching and ready and seeing the trend from LeBron James and the Lakers, who had a couple of big-time wins over the Clippers and the Bucks, I believe, and saying, all right, if LeBron James was going to trend that way for the last month, it was going to get spicy, even though Giannis did have one of the best seasons ever. And Zach Lowe, host of the Low Post podcast, wherever you get your podcasts here at ESPN, talked about why he voted for Giannis.
The statistical case for Giannis is pretty ironclad. And again, people forget, this is a regular season award. Even in voting for Giannis, I wrote, I don't think with the chips on the line in a game seven of the playoffs or game one of the playoffs even, he's the best player. LeBron is still that.
Jhené, it's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's a pretty damning statement.
Yeah, it is. It is. I just think that it's unfortunate because Giannis could only do so much, right? When it came to his game, he tried, he gave his all. He still has weaknesses and limitations, but for the most part, he had the most dominant regular season. But that doesn't really matter. That doesn't matter when your team gets bounced early. And for LeBron James to now have the opportunity to win another ring, and I said earlier that it was relatively easy, and I'm putting this into context in the sense that Kawhi Leonard was expected to be the one to take down LeBron James. Giannis Antetokounmpo was expected to be the one that could have enough talent at the individual level to match up with LeBron James. So with these two guys out of the field feels more open. Does it mean that you're going to run, like, and we'll get to this conversation later on. There are a lot of hot teams right now in the bubble. Like, you can make a case for you know, two in each conference, but or one in each conference. But when it comes to LeBron James, it feels like this is the story. Like, in the middle of an unprecedented situation, a season, he has the opportunity to win a championship, but he walks away still losing the honor in the end.
And I think, looking at this point in his career, I would doubt that LeBron is, I shouldn't say that, LeBron is hyper-competitive with everything, and you can almost set your watch to the fact that tonight, as they tip off against the Denver Nuggets, that LeBron, in game one, well, we all agree that LeBron is usually in jab mode in game one of a lot of these playoff series, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's not even afraid to lose game one and then rip four off.
Is there any doubt in anyone's mind that we've probably got a LeBron triple-double coming tonight? And like an angry one, like that stank-ass post, that stank post-dunk face there from LeBron James, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think tonight is a night that we see a huge performance from LeBron James, just because he's had more rest than his counterparts. And also, I in the bubble, I think he's top three in usage. Like, he's being used more, and that's a good thing, because he feels more responsibility, because this championship is getting closer and closer. So yeah, I would not be surprised. We're not going to see, I'd hope to see Anthony Davis be aggressive, because he's going to have to stop Nikola Jokic, who has been the anchor for this Nuggets team. Jamal Murray has helped in, you know, bursts. His defense of Jokic is going to be important. His offense versus Jokic is going to be important. But LeBron James will, of course, dictate this series. And I think he will want to make a statement considering the award was given today. And he has game one versus the Nuggets today as well.
And I think that's the biggest part of all this is LeBron is always hearing this stuff, whether it's coming from the media. Hell, we remember when he heard Jay Will talking about him or tweeting about him after one of the games earlier in the postseason and responded to that. Like, this
was
guy's
which one was that?
I forget what round that
was. Was it Pippen?
That was when we were talking about Giannis being a Pippen, and he mentioned LeBron being that. And sure enough, LeBron found his way to Twitter for that. Like, this dude hears and responds to everything.
Yeah, he does. And you know what's funny? Because you're talking about how competitive he is. That just took me back to my first Zoom with him. And he gets on, welcomes everyone very cordially. And he's like, I do everything on time. And we are here and focused on a mission. I was like, dang, you got this energy for Zoom meetings in the middle of quarantine? Okay, sir. Imagine the energy he has for everything he cares about on the court. And that is winning championships. So I was like, okay, I get why you're the king. Okay, I see it now.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And so, Chinee, I guess we look now to the Lakers because we mentioned LeBron in response to this is still playing, and that's the uncomfortable discord for everyone looking at the MVP. But for LeBron now, it is kind of turned around, and I think I heard Jay Will mention this morning, to where this is the team with a ton of pressure sitting on them because they're about the only ones we have expectations for left, right? Like, none of the rest of these teams, save maybe the Celtics, but for even them, I think we downgrade them all below, well below LeBron James, who now is overwhelmingly expected to walk away with this thing.
And this is my number one concern with the bubble, and I feel like people aren't talking about it in this deep of a way. The fact that top teams were seeing it with the Celtics, we saw it with the Bucks, we saw it with the Clippers. In this environment, without fans or with limited fans, even though Rondo's brother counts for a major way in his interactions, in this environment where there's no fans, top seeds in a normal environment would feel that energy and momentum that they have earned by winning more games, right, in the regular season. Without that, top teams feel the pressure of winning without that natural energy. You know, it's easy when you're the underdog to sort of create that chip on the shoulder that we're talking about, this Heat culture and all that type of stuff. But when you're the top team, I think that's an added weight that's, you know, hampering the Celtics. And hopefully, you know, we'll see if it, whether or not it hampers the Lakers as well.
We will check that. We'll see as that series tips off later today. But Chinee, you mentioned energy, you mentioned that chip on your shoulder, and you mentioned the Celtics. We were talking about fighting and chair throwing with Malika Andrews when she came on here, and you mentioned to us that you had a couple of situations that got a little froggy in the locker room, and you mentioned you had one last year when you were with Sparks. So do you mind letting us know? I mean, you can't tease hands and not deliver on hands.
So what happened was, we won a game. It was amazing. You know how I roll, how we roll as a Gourmet family. Like, my sister and I, we do a handshake before we start the game, and when the game's over, we walk off the court together. And this is at Staples Center. Shout out to Staples. Let's go. And after NECA was doing a post game, she had an amazing game. You know, I had a good game too, but she had an amazing game. And Holly Rowe, we had an ESPN reporter, you know, giving an interview to NECA. And so NECA's doing the interview, and I'm standing there waiting for her, you know, sort of like her bouncer or something like that. And so, you know, out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, I see a flash. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I was like, what? And so I turn around and I see a man making a beeline towards NECA and I. And I was like, oh, snap, this is about to go down. So I'm like, hold up, is this real? And so I jump in front of NECA. Your girl puts up her two fists.
Yep.
Two fists ready to knock him back. And then the security came because they were like, oh, well, it became a whole situation with Staples. I jumped in front. Your girl was ready to go, locked and loaded. It was broadcast on ESPN because they kept the camera on us. And so after the game, I had so many texts like, y'all okay? Because they body slammed that man, the security. Oh my gosh. And I remember that happening. I'm a lover. I am a lover. I am not a fighter. But in that instance, you come from my sister, you best not miss. So I jumped in front, had my hands ready, and Nick was like, you really were ready to fight. I was like, at least I had to pretend like I was, like, to try to scare him off.
See,
that was my energy.
That's the key, too, and I remember that now. That was a very viral moment for you guys, and you're right. You were in the frame ready to go. It doesn't matter. Security stepped in and did their job, but as far as everyone on your team is concerned and everyone in your family is concerned, when it's on the line, you were ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because everyone knows, like, I can't fight. Well, I won't say I can't fight, because if I need to, I will. I don't know if I'll be successful.
Yep.
Let's go.
Yep.
So, I, you know, that's one of my quarantine workout goals. Like, I want to golf, but I also want to get boxing so I can, like, at least after that, I learned I need to be ready.
There we go. Boxing and golf. Two things do people do not think of necessarily
going
together.
Twist to the story. He had a piece of something in his hand, and everyone was worried about that's why they came after him. He had something holding in his hand. People didn't know if it was a weapon or not. That's why I was like, okay, what's going on here? It was a letter. It was a love letter.
Oh, wow. Oh, yep. Wow. So yep. This is a love story this whole time.
I guess.
Wow.
He came out. Shoot your shot. There you go.
Maybe not.
But he got body slammed because he did it the wrong way, but you know.
You know what? We've talked a lot about it on the show. You know where you never get body slammed? Sliding into DMs. Like, just do this the good old-fashioned millennial romance way, and don't get yourself checked by a security guard.
There you go, that part.
Speaking of people that don't ever want to fight, Chenangle, Junior reminding you to tune into Interleague Baseball action tomorrow as the A's host the Giants. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, battling back is going to be the story for this weekend in the NFL. We got a handful of teams, and I'm going to ask you who you believe has the best chance of rebounding from a tough week one start. We'll get to that next. It's Chenangle Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenangle Jr., the podcast.
This is all too appropriate as we get ready to have this conversation. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we got the big fella, Marcus Spears, joining us here. Our great ESPN NFL analyst going to help us break down what we're about to talk about here. Some of the teams that have the best opportunity to bounce back after a slow week one. But Timber sends me to the dance floor every time. Chenae, I asked you earlier, have you figured out here, because we've been talking about this, Friday, normally it's too damn Friday around here. You're always asking people what the move is for the weekend, and because of COVID, there is less movement going on in here. But everyone's got that one song, whether you're at a wedding, whether you're out vibing somewhere, that sends you to the dance floor. And I said mine was Teach Me How to Dougie. Now, Timber would fall into that category by Kesha. Have you had time to think about one yet?
I would say Back That Up is one. Outstanding by the Gap Band gets me up every time. And I guess that's... Oh, Return of the Mac.
So I was going to say, because that was a lot of the answers that we got at Shanae321, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter. King Tone said, Nuck If You Buck, threw that one in there also. Chelsea Lee said, September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Ooh.
All good ones. And like those are like wedding songs, too. Like, where are you at? Which line dance at the wedding is the one that you hug tightly? Because the Cupid Shuffle is like home base. I've said it's home base for everyone to go in there and feel like they're good to go, right?
Electric Slide.
Oh, what's
But is that is that the one we do? Like the one we do? Like, you know, is that ours?
No, I think the one we do is probably the Wobble, right?
Not the Wobble. It's the other one. Like we can just hit the Electric Slide to anything.
Oh yeah, that one's good in any situation. So we'll brainstorm on that a little more at Shanae321, at Mike Golick Jr. But right now we got to take a look. It's the weekend preview brought to you by Geico. Geico's now offering an extra 15% on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit Geico.com. For more. I love just putting an NFL bet under things. It makes every segment seem like it's already going.
It really does. I mean, speaking of this, like, have you seen that TikTok video of like you play the song and then see if your husband's come running? Like, this was before the season was. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Loved it.
By the way, hold on to that for as long as you can. Soon to rest in peace, TikTok. Tough news.
Very true.
Tough news for our producer Devin and for Gen Z.
Oh, Devin's a TikToker, even though I do have some videos on there. He's the one.
Oh, you got some videos up on TikTok. All right, we're going to do a little digging during the break here.
I do.
Wow. I never got into it, and thankfully now
you would be excellent on there.
None of us get to be excellent on there anymore. Rest in power to TikTok starting on Sunday, apparently. But Sunday, a chance for rebirth for these other NFL teams, Chenae. And I'm curious, if we talk about this all the time, we've been doing it in the NBA postseason, must win, just win games. We had some teams suffer some big-time losses in week one, somewhat appeared to be setbacks. Is there any team you look at and already week two think we're in must-win territory?
Absolutely. Must-win game for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Already?
Yeah, I think so. Just because we had high expectations. I know they were playing the Saints, and that was a tough start, like a very competitive start. But going up against Carolina, new coaching staff, new quarterback. This is something that should be, in my sport, a layup. So if you made a great point, division games, like, they matter now. You can't wait for those. So I think Tom Brady and the Bucks have a must-win game.
I think you're right, and I think it's one we all expect them to win. Like, it should be easy, and 0-2 in the division to start the season would be brutal, especially given the level of competition, and because this is another place where everyone's making a lot out of the situation surrounding Tom Brady and Bruce Arians' public criticism of him. Here was the Buccaneers quarterback, Tom Brady, talking about that interaction.
There's been a lot of talk this week about Bruce Arians kind of being Bruce Arians and kind of being blunt in his criticism of you, and specifically in the two interceptions. How is that for you? I think there's a perception that you haven't taken a lot of criticism from your coaches before. I don't think this is something that surprised you this week, is it?
So what's the question?
Yeah, just whether you were surprised at all to hear Bruce speaking publicly about the picks and being critical of you as he was.
You know, he's a coach, so, you know, I'm a player just trying to win a game.
God, he's still got that Patriots on him in that one.
Oh, like, yeah.
I laugh so hard at that, Janae, because Bill Belichick famously held Tom Brady accountable in a way that after a while became such a slow drip of toxic that he wanted to go to a place where he felt like he had a little bit easier a time. So that's sort of a laughable idea to me.
Yeah, so it's funny because as much credibility you have with your career and your tenure and all that, like new coach, new space, new place, new vibe, new energy, and you have to make this adjustment. Your coach will sort of air you out, and it doesn't feel good, but it's part of the process.
Yeah, I guess in the Patriots, it happened behind closed doors. And here, happening out in public a little bit more. Looking at the rest of the weekend, Sinead, we had a number of games. Vikings-Colts is a matchup of both teams that went 0-4 to start the season. The Falcons and the Cowboys, Rams and Eagles. Is there another matchup you look at and like one of the teams that lost week one to get back on track?
Yeah, I would say that this one is a just-win game when it comes to the Cowboys-Falcons.
And I
just win game, right? Like, you know, when you only put up 17 points and you're going up against the Falcons, you're going to have to do better than that.
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect ideal matchup because as much as I want to say the Falcons played the Seahawks week one, I thought the Falcons' offense still looked pretty good. That defense looks fast. They are still the Falcons. And when forces like this come up in situations like this, I never try and overthink it. They're the Falcons. They are going to find a way. In a battle of teams that might find a way to lose, the Falcons will overcome in that. So I'm with you. I think the Dallas Cowboys get back on track in this game. Dak and that offense are going to have to put up points, though, because we saw that defense is willing to give it up.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because we have these high expectations when it comes to the Cowboys. So why not put that in the hot seat, especially now? Because, you know, no one wants to start 0-2. No one really does. And so for the Cowboys, I think with all the talk and all the pressure on Dak and the expenditures that could potentially arise, this is a game that they sort of need to get and also stake the claim that they want to be favorites considered, you know, this year. And if not, win it all.
Exactly. I think that has to start now, that recorrection. Again, we talk about there's a danger in teams where nothing is expected of them, but I don't think that applies after all these years and all this hurt to the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't even say that. That couldn't even come across as disrespect to Falcons fans because they can't feel pain.
What do you
anymore.
Think about Stephen A's fit today?
Oh, my God. That man, when he gets in that mode, when Stephen A. Smith busts out the cigar, everybody's in trouble.
It's so true. But can we work on the accent? Because I can switch on my Texan accent real quick, but no one really understands that because, you know, I just talk normal. But it's not that bad. But Stephen A. sounds a little different. Sounds like he's from, you know, the corners of the country, not the center.
The corners of the country. So you're willing to be Stephen A.'s accent coach?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
All right, perfect. You can do that. Coming up next, our next guest needs no help or introduction when it comes to one of the best voices in sports. We'll ask him who's got the best chance to turn it around in NFL Week 2 weekend. We'll get to that next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We like to make everyone feel welcome around here. We like to curate a good vibe around here.
Yes, Chenay's, we do.
Chenay's actually going to bring some good vibes and good energy to someone who desperately needs it in the world of college football here in about 10 minutes. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And if we're hearing that, it can only be one thing. Our ESPN NFL analyst, Marcus Spears, is in the house. Marcus, how you doing, man?
What's up, my family?
Oh, feeling good, man. It's Friday. We're ready for the weekend, Marcus. And we're ready to see who's going to turn it around, man, because we've been talking about it. A couple of teams got off to slow starts around the National Football League. We mentioned the Bucs, the Cowboys. I'm curious, as you look at the Week 2 schedule coming up here this weekend, is there a team that you feel like is in the best position to turn this thing around and right the ship early?
I think it's Indianapolis. Phillip Rivers obviously had those turnovers But you expect him to bounce back. And look, there's an immense amount of pressure. They brought him in, paid him $25 million a year in order to put this team over the hump. And remember, Jacoby Brissett was playing well before his injury. He was playing good enough. So Phillip has to be a lot better than that in order to justify that move that they made to bring him in. The idea of him being in Indianapolis was not to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars and going to miss you in week one. I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Indianapolis coach, but not only them, Phillip Rivers, to get this thing corrected and show that last year was an anomaly with him turning the ball over so much, MG.
Here with Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst on Chenea and Golic Jr. And before we get to the meat of the issue from yesterday's Thursday night football game, I want to know, what's the song that gets you running to the dance floor? Because, Junior, what was your song?
Well, I said mine was Teach Me How to Dougie, Marcus. Like, that was just one of those things, like at a wedding, at a function, no matter what it is, that sets me off there. I have a feeling I know what it is for you, but I am curious, Marcus, because I feel like you own a dance floor when you get going.
Hey, man, it's too many songs to mention. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm from Louisiana. We got Lil Wayne. We had Big Freedia. We had, obviously, Juvenile. We had Cash Money. It's a bunch of songs that I could run off. One that I remember is crazy. It's going to be super left field. Y'all remember the song Tear the Club Up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's the one that you're sweating, and then you down to a tank top by the time you leave the club. That was the one for me.
That's a fact. Tear the club up. How about tear the turf up? Let's stick to Louisiana and those vibes. Joe Burrow, obviously, you know, didn't end up getting a win. But what did you see in his quarterback play yesterday?
I'm so impressed. Look, if you look at what tumultuous offseason this has been, the inability to prepare a rookie starting in his second game, and I was impressed with the first week as well, without a normal preseason, a normal way to get prepared to play, and what Joe Burrow is doing, there is nothing but positive vibes that can come out of that. Now, Cincinnati got a responsibility not to get him killed and to surround him with people that's going to give them an opportunity to win, because he's going to be good enough. I think he's proven that, and he started to prove that in college. And people also have to remember, Joe Burrow is 23 years old. So he's mature enough to handle some things that aren't going his way right now. But Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Bengals organization, the front office, Zach Taylor, the head coach, they are going to have to make a commitment not only to winning, but making sure that they put their franchise player in a position to have success. They did. They made one move by signing Joe Mixon. Now hand them the damn ball off. They have to get this whole line fixed, as we saw last night with Cleveland being able to run roughshod. And Joe taking those shots, and he has to get better as far as getting the ball out of his hand and realizing he's not at LSU. And Myles Garrett is a completely different man than any man he's ever faced on defense in his life. But outside of that, if you are taking anything negative away from what you've seen from Joe Burrow with an abbreviated preseason, not having the opportunity to go through the normal ups and downs of training camp legitimately in preseason games, and all he's doing is giving his team a chance to win in two games, you got to be impressed with what you're watching. Now it's on Cincinnati to make sure they continue to build around him.
Marcus, Cincinnati, you mentioned Cleveland really doing a lot of the things last year going into this year that we talked about the Bengals being able to have to do for Joe Burrow coming up. What did you make? You mentioned they ran roughshod over him last night. Of Baker Mayfield, though, did you learn anything about him in their Week 2 matchup that gives you hope?
I love the way he responded, man. And y'all both know me. I'm critical of Baker because I just always thought that I never saw him as the elite guy that everybody built him up to be. But he's elite when you put him in the positions where he's comfortable. And last night, Kevin Stefanski got back to doing a lot of things Baker did with Lincoln Riley. He did a lot of things he did with Kirk Cousins as far as rolling him out, making sure that he's open, not behind the offensive line with straight dropbacks where he may have trouble seeing over those guys, and getting the ball to OBJ. Like, it ain't rocket science, man. And he spread the ball around to Odell. He got Austin Hooper involved. He got Jarvis Landry involved. He used a lot of his targets, and then we know what Chubb and Kareem Hunt did on the ground. So I was impressed by Baker responding to a first outing that was bad, still threw an untimely, unnecessary interception which you don't want to see, and almost gave Cincinnati an opportunity to get back in that game. But look, if you're going to use Baker and you're going to tell me he can have that type of success week in and week out, now obviously, y'all know me, I'm going to keep it 100 as 100 can be. It was the damn Cincinnati Bengals, okay? Let's not get it twisted and think that Pittsburgh defense or Baltimore defense going to be that easy for you to just roll out and make plays like that. But it's a start. It's a step in the right direction. It should build his confidence, knowing that he saw something happen positively for him throughout majority of that game. So it was a great job by Baker. It was a great job by Kevin Stefanski. And it also was a great job by Chubb and Kareem Hunt closing that game out. And Cleveland's offensive line.
Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst here on Chenet and Golic Jr. Marcus, if we're keeping it a buck then, you mentioned it's the damn Cincinnati Bengals. Well, Cam Newton and the New England Patriots had a lot of success against the dang Miami Dolphins in this one. Can they replicate that against the Seahawks this weekend on the road?
I don't think they can, MG Jr. I'm going to be honest with you. And you know I'm all over Cam, man. I hope Cam has a great season. I hope he has a great game. But looking at Seattle play Atlanta, Atlanta defense is 10 times more potent. Atlanta's offense is 10 times more potent than what New England's offense is going to be. And did you see Jamal Adams? Did you see the 12 tackles, the 2 tackles for loss, the sack, the constant being a nuisance to Matt Ryan and Todd Gurley and being in the backfield? Look, when they signed Jamal Adams, they made a commitment to reincarnate Troy Polamalu. And that's exactly what they're doing with him. And let's not forget Bobby Wagner is still known as one of the better linebackers in the league. This is a totally different animal. And the reason I mention those two guys is because they are going to be a lot responsible for when they run those run-pass options with Cam. The 15 runs, I think, got a tailor down. And N'Keal Harry got to step up, MG Jr. and Shanae. Like, they drafted him out of Arizona State, a big physical receiver. New England needs a guy to emerge as a number one. We know Julian Edelman can work the middle of the field and work from the slot. They need N'Keal Harry to step up. But I expect the Seattle defense to be too much. And Russell Wilson is going to get these guys ahead in this game. As much as I think Bill Belichick can call defense against anybody and kind of stall them out, it's not going to be a pretty day for New England, man.
You can check him out as a part of the new NFL Live crew, 4 p.m. Eastern, every day here on ESPN. Marcus, I know because of COVID we all got to be home and stay safe, but this weekend we still want you to feel like you can go out and tear the club up. So,
hey!
Let's go.
I'm already in my face shop.
We appreciate you, Marcus, man. Stay up. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, family. Peace and love. I'll talk to y'all soon.
ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears joined us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. All right, coming up next, one person on the show thinks that Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, has been getting entirely too much blame. She'll tell you why after this word from DraftKings.
There's you said no... she. You already told me.
Listen, I have to make sure people know it's not me. DraftKings, everybody. There's no place better to get out all the gridiron action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all that Week 2 action. That's code CJR, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chenet and Golic Jr.
Chenet and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Two Damn Friday here on Chenet and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll head back to the bubble and see if we can figure out what the hell the Celtics need to do to claw out from under all of that heat culture. But Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agwumike here with you now. Chinee, you know, it's been interesting. We've talked so much in the world of college sports about what's gone wrong. We tend to get a lot of bad news right now. We had another game postponed coming up, Baylor and Houston, that was just put on the schedule, now postponed. Not sure if they're going to reschedule that one since it was only put on the schedule 6 days ago. And a lot of criticism has gone the way of leadership. And I know there's one leader in particular that you feel like maybe we need to pull back the curtain on some humanity for.
Yes.
So why don't we do a little one and done? Is that cool?
Let's get it.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So this is inspired by a great profile in the Wall Street Journal today. But to put it into context, it's been a long month for everyone, you know, in 2020. The NBA and the WNBA, they both paused after Jacob Blake. MLB overcame its initial bubbleless season to now have a process in place for the postseason. College football was back for some, not all. And I think also, you know, when we think about the Big Ten, the conference made its decision, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot for so many people. And specifically, it was a lot for Kevin Warren. Over a month ago on August 11th, Kevin Warren, you know, the Big Ten Conference made the decision to postpone. And this week, finally, they reversed course. And, you know, the decision making or the lack thereof by Kevin Warren provoked immense scrutiny. It wasn't just about his job, though. It felt like the attack became kind of personal, right? You know, and we know his profession, but we don't necessarily know his personal journey. That is often forgotten. And this is definitely not how Kevin Warren probably envisioned, you know, his first year on the job succeeding Jim Delaney, who had the post previously for 30 years. On January 1st, he became the first black commissioner on a major college athletic conference. You know, so it's been a tough transition for Kevin Warren, but people don't know that he grew up as the youngest of seven siblings. And at the age of 10, he was riding a bike, and that bike was struck by a car, which caused him to wear a body cast for months. And with that settlement money, he and his family used it to construct a pool in their backyard for him to rehab in. So he's not foreign to the concept of dealing with adversity and also jumping into the deep end, I guess, learning how to swim your way out. He did it once, being that young boy, right, in a cast. And then he transformed and blossomed into becoming, after all that adversity, a basketball star, a lawyer with also an MBA, an NFL executive for countless, you know, a lot of years, over two decades, and then now Big Ten commissioner. He's made it out of the deep end once, and it looks like now that we have the news with the Big Ten being back and all the vitriol and all the emotions and the reactions from parents and players and all that, it seemed like it was an insurmountable odd for him to recover some of his image. And now he put the right processes in place. We're getting more information. And most importantly, it looks like he's doing what he did once when he was young, you know, swimming, treading, and finding to create a way back for football to be there. So for those who really are quick to condemn him and to say that his leadership was horrible, this is a guy that's not, this is not new to him. This is something that he understands the process. You have to go through it to get to it. So as much as we criticize him, also put in context, this guy sort of might be built for that criticism. And now we're at a day and age where, you know, especially in the Big Ten, football is back, and that's what we all wanted overall.
Always good, I think, to shed a little bit of light on the humanity of people involved in a lot of these situations, because we tend to treat public figures and people involved, especially in sports, like punching bags whenever you get the opportunity. Hell, I've been guilty of that on certain occasions. And you're right, Kevin Warren here was kind of made the punching bag, the pinata, however you want to call it, for decisions that were made really above his pay grade in a lot of these instances. So I don't think he displayed a lot of exemplary leadership, but what do they say? It's never too late to do the right thing. And so we'll see. I don't really know if this is the right thing, but at the very least, the execution, a lot better in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we mentioned in Stick Around Ohio State, Sean Wade, the Ohio State cornerback, a guy who's expected to be a top flight draft pick, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and talked about his process of trying to now opt back in after opting out previously. Here he was.
The process was hard. It was they announced it on my birthday, so it was just a lot of commotion going on. really just wanted to celebrate my birthday and just take the next day just to think about what I want to do best for me and my family. But really, I know I made the best decision. God kind of showed the light of opening it back on my birthday. And then I had a big, big birthday party with family and friends. And that just showed the light of me wanting to come back and just compete with my team.
Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade explaining the process. Returning to play is more driven. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And he's not the only one. Chiney, Minnesota star wideout Rashad Bateman has re-enrolled at Minnesota now, is practicing with the team. He got a waiver to do that. His coach PJ Fleck said that he's working with the NCAA, with the Big Ten, to try and require the waiver necessary to play. He had signed with an agent under completely different circumstances. You can only hope these guys get the chance, if they choose now and feel safe, to opt back in and play.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, though? Because if you have a lot of potential at the next level still going back, I feel like it is a risk.
It's a risk, but it's the decision that they should be allowed to make now.
Absolutely.
If this is going back, the NCAA should do everything they can to make sure that these guys are allowed to go back if they so choose, because the situation and the circumstances have changed so, so much. Can we expect the situation to change at all for the Boston Celtics? We'll talk to an former NBA stud who's going to try and shed some light on how those fiery locker room confrontations can go next on Chenangolo Jr.